Chapter 22. AMS Predator. Gwendolyn Lancaster looked around Predator with what she felt was well-earned scepticism. It seemed that in following the orders of the Spyrarch, she had fallen in with scoundrels. Oh, granted, they had been fierce enough in battle, and granted that they had, in fact, quite possibly saved her life, probably, even. But after asking a few questions of passing crewmen, she had determined that the help of Captain Grimm and his men had gone first to the Lancaster Vattery. Possibly that had been coincidence at work, but Gwen's father put precious little store by such notions. The crystals her family's Vattery produced were quite literally the most valuable resource in the world, the most expensive piece of equipment one could purchase. It seemed a strange coincidence that the captain of a ship in dire need of replacement crystals should happen to wander by the Vattery. It seemed an equal stretch that he should then proceed to rescue the heir apparent of House Lancaster, purely by happenstance. She supposed that a military-minded man might have deduced that the Lancaster Vattery would be a prime target of attack. But if Grimm had managed to piece all of that together in the chaos of the attack, he was the tactical equal of old Admiral Targwyn himself, and Gwen hardly thought that the fleet would have cast out a captain of such ability. Of course, coincidences happened, and this could be one. But if it was not coincidence, then it meant that Captain Grimm had known enemy movements and intentions. It was possible that she was doing a courageous and capable man a grave disservice, but a determination to protect the Vattery was something that had been fed to her with her mother's milk and drilled into her during every hour of every day that had passed since. As theirs was the only crystal Vattery in the Spire capable of producing core crystals, there simply was no alternative but to take every precaution possible. So while she felt a regret that perhaps Grimm deserved better of her, she faced her duty squarely and kept a quiet, calm eye upon the man. She mounted the steps to the airship's bridge, the conning tower at the forward end of the ship. The roof of the tower had a small raised platform at the rear, where the ship's steering grips were. The pilot would stand upon it, with the clearest view of anyone aboard of what was in front of the airship. The captain and his executive officer stood on the deck in front of the pilot, enjoying a similar view. Gwen supposed clear sight of the ship's surroundings would be quite vital in wartime. At the moment, the view was rather pedestrian. The mists had thickened as Predator cast off from her pier, and the ship currently hung in cloudy limbo. The sun, only a dim suggestion somewhere far above. The dull black walls of Spire Albion stretched out ahead and astern of the airship on its left, or port, side. A pair of heavy lines were fastened to a long tether cable that ran down the side of the spire, in order to prevent winds from causing the ship to drift away from the tower. A pair of long poles set out to the side of the ship kept winds from pushing it into the tower too. They had already been underway for a quarter of an hour, and the black stone of the spire rolled slowly upward as the vessel sank down into the mist, heading for the shipyards of Habel Landing. The pilot, a rather hard-looking man whose name was Kettle, took note of her presence first, and cleared his throat loudly. Captain Grimm and Commander Creedy looked back at Kettle, and then at her. They glanced at one another, and then Creedy came over to her wearing a polite smile. "Miss Lancaster," he said, "how may I be of service to you?" Gwen straightened her dark blue uniform jacket and said, "I wished to ask you a few questions, sir, if that is quite all right."
"Certainly, miss."
Gwen nodded. "Are you the same Byron Creedy who lately served on the battle cruiser Glorious?" Creedy's friendly expression suddenly became very closed. "Indeed, miss. I had that honour." "Were you not habbled by the Fleet Review Board for conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman?" A muscle along the young man's jaw twitched, and Creedy gave her a brief, stiff nod. "I see," Gwen said. "I may be required to place the success of our Inquisition and our very lives in your hands, Commander. I need to know what kind of man you are, and whether or not you will be there to help if I should call upon you." "Thus far, miss," he replied in a very precise, polite voice indeed, "the captain and crew of Predator have been there to help you even when you have not called. Or so I judged the situation we found in the tunnel." "Forgive me, sir," she said, "but we have little time, and I fear I must be direct and plain. You were cast in disgrace from the active service roles of the fleet. Your captain was exiled from the service entirely. Many of your crew members have similar service records with the fleet. It is quite the collection of men in disgrace."
"Perhaps, miss," Creedy said with a coolly lifted chin, "you would prefer to travel the remainder of the distance to landing without enduring the disgrace of our company."
"Byron," said Grimm in a gentle, firm tone.
Creedy glanced over his shoulder, let a breath out through his nose, and then turned back to Gwen to speak in a low, hard voice.
"Miss, if I were you, I would have a care what you had to say about the captain in front of any of his officers or crew, myself included. None of us particularly care to hear ill spoken of the man, and none of us will care who your parents are if you insult the captain. Do I make myself understood?"
Gwen arched an eyebrow at him. "Have I said anything that is untrue, Commander?"
"You have said nothing untrue," he replied. "You have also said nothing that is complete. There is more to the world than what a review board publishes about an officer or aeronaut, Miss Lancaster. Guard your tongue." And with that he gave her a rigid bow and strode off the bridge. His boots thumped solidly on the deck and the stairs as he left. When Gwen turned back to the front of the ship, she found Grimm standing 2 feet from her. The man had not made a sound to give away his approach, and Gwen had to force herself not to flinch as she found him facing her. He was, she thought, a rather striking man. He wasn't beautiful. His features weren't balanced. He had a rather heavy brow, which gave him a slightly brutish look, one that was belied by the glitter of intelligence in his dark eyes. His cheekbones were sharp and wide, and contrasted with his thick jawline. His mouth was narrow, though whether that was its natural form or simply his current expression, Gwen couldn't say. He was of unimpressive height, but well-muscled, and he had the look of a man who could do heavy work for hours without tiring. His hands were blocky, square and strong, and he carried himself with the rigidly proper posture of the fleet, despite his disgrace. It was the blood on him, she thought, that made her uneasy. He had not yet changed out of the clothes he had worn in battle, not even the sling that cradled one of his arms.
"Captain Grimm," she said calmly.
"Miss Lancaster," he replied. "Why were you provoking my executive officer?"
"Because I've always found that people's reactions are more honest when they're tired, and I wanted to test his before he went to his bunk."
He seemed to consider this for a moment and then nodded.
"And you're speaking to me now for the same reason, I take it."
Gwen gave him a tight smile.
"Something like that."
The captain grunted.
"You're too young to be that ruthless."
"My nanny and several instructors told me the same thing," she said. "Your men still think well of you after the battle, Captain. That's remarkable."
"Do you think so?"
Gwen shrugged.
"There are many fleet captains whose men would sour on them if they suffered the casualties your crew did in battle."
"There are many fleet captains who are idiots," he replied.
"Your men do not seem to have been fazed."
"It was a fight that needed to happen," Grimm said. "They understand that. I didn't kill those men. The Aurorans did."
"They understand that, too."
"All the same," Gwen said. "I asked around about you, Captain Grimm. I have some questions for you as well."
"I'm certain that you do, miss. Please proceed."
Gwen nodded. "What can you tell me about the perilous incident, Captain?"
Grimm's weary expression never flickered.
"I have nothing to say about it."
"That's what everyone seems to think," Gwen said, nodding.
The records of the Inquisition afterward have been sealed. Not even my father's influence could acquire them.
It's done, Grimm said. It's in the past, and best left there.
So the Admiralty seems to think, Gwen said. A fleet captain dead in mid-cruise, his executive officer beaten into a coma, 3 young lieutenants left to bring a warship and her crew safely home through pirate skies. Lieutenants Grimm, Bayard, and Rook, to be precise.
Grimm regarded her impassively.
To this day, no one is sure what happened on Perilous, she told him, but she came home with heavy losses, and when the dust cleared, Lieutenants Rook and Bayard had been promoted to Lieutenant Commander, while Lieutenant Grimm was summarily drummed out of the service for cowardice in the face of the enemy.
His voice turned dry. I am somewhat familiar with the tale, miss.
It gives me serious concerns, Gwen said. Are you a coward, Captain?
The man stared at her with those shadowed eyes for several moments before he said, his voice very soft,
When needed, miss. When needed.
Gwen tilted her head.
I'm not sure what to make of that answer, Captain.
Good, he said shortly.
Mr. Kettle, if you would send for me 1/4 hour before arrival.
Aye, Captain, said the pilot in a laconic tone.
Grimm gave her a short, brief bow. Miss Lancaster, he said. Then he turned and walked wearily down the steps to the deck. Gwen watched him cross to the center tower and enter his cabin. The man did not seem much like a scoundrel to her, nor did he seem to be a coward. She frowned thoughtfully until she felt the weight of the pilot's gaze on her. She looked up at Kettle and said, Do you believe what they said about him at the court-martial?
Kettle grunted and peered ahead for a moment, and Gwen thought he had simply declined to answer. She had turned and begun to leave when he said,
Miss Lancaster.
She paused. Yes?
I didn't know him when he was in the fleet, miss, but...
Kettle took a slow breath, his lips moving slightly, as if composing his answer before he spoke. Then he nodded and turned his eyes to her, his expression intent.
Miss Lancaster, Spirestone is heavy. Fire is hot, and the captain does his duty, no matter what it costs him. Understand?
Gwen regarded Kettle's unshaven face for a slow breath and then nodded slowly.
I believe I'm beginning to. Thank you, Mr. Kettle.
It's nothing, miss.
How long will it take us to reach landing?
1 hour of travel, and then we wait in line for a berth. 1 hour, probably. We'll ring the ship's bell when we arrive.
Thank you, Gwen said, and she turned to leave the pilot to his duties. Interesting.
Her father had always said that a man could be fairly judged by the quality of his allies and that of his enemies. Captain Grimm seemed to have a number of rather staunch allies, despite his disgraced status, apparently including Lord Albion himself. And despite what had happened to him, his pride was unbowed. If what Kettle said was true, then Grimm was a rather remarkable man, perhaps even the kind of man who could match tacticians of historic brilliance, the kind that made coincidences happen, rather than letting them happen to him. Perhaps he had saved her family's Vatteri and her life because he had believed it his duty to do so. Or perhaps not. Time would tell.